Just listening to Jim, I mean, there's a lot going on, isn't there? It's a little bit of a burden. Jim keeps track of the prayer requests. And, you know, last week, if you were here, we prayed for Pastor Betson in Africa. And this week, he texted me. He did some outdoor preaching at a market, and 20 people got saved. And so I thought, wow, maybe God heard and answered our prayer, you know, for him. And in life issues, we were praying for Brother Don. He's got some bone cancer, and anyway, he got a good report that week that we prayed for him. So do try to remember to pray for, you know, this car deal with Teresa is a big deal. The diabetes with Kevin's a big deal. Tracy's friend is a big deal. Pam and her friends needing a job. These are all kind of big deals. So it's kind of heavy to carry some of that around. But, you know, nothing's impossible for God. And His hand is not shortened that He cannot save. And so He says nothing is too hard for Him. So rest in that. I know Jason is looking for a better job. And if you don't know, this is my friend Robert back here. He is with us for the first time, so maybe meet him afterwards. And he's making some life changes too. And so we need to lift him up. But we are in the book of Revelation. And yeah, Teresa?
What about Joel?
He should be back this week. Yeah, he went to Texas for a couple weeks. He had an event down there that he was participating in. So ask him about it. I've kept in contact. He's asked to be a disciple. I'm going to get a disciple with him. So I'm looking forward to discipling with Joel. And so he should be back next week. Yeah, that'd be good. That'll save me. I have one. I'll give Angie one, but if you want to give those to everybody else. I don't know if you guys remember, last week we talked about this star named Wormwood that fell. And does anybody remember what the Russian word for wormwood was? It dealt with bitterness, but in Russian it was Chernobyl. And I thought this was interesting. This is like a statue of an angel. I think it was the fourth angel that was the wormwood. The third angel, I believe it was. Yeah, of chapter 8, verse 11. So the people at Chernobyl put up this angel blowing a trumpet. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. I wanted to share that with you. So, yeah.
I thought I heard this. On the news they were talking about right before this Trump-Putin summit, they're supposed to test this new, like, unstoppable rocket, and it's called the Flying Chernobyl.
Really?
Yeah.
The Russians?
Yeah.
They're testing a rocket called Chernobyl.
Yeah, the Flying Chernobyl. It's supposed to be, like, unstoppable.
Wow.
Like,
thank you.
It's beyond the inter-ballistic or whatever it is.
Wow.
Intercontinental ballistic.
So that word's come up a few times in the news and as well as in our text, so I feel like we're right on track, aren't we?
So a weird thing, wormwood is actually used in making absinthe.
Yes.
Like alcohol.
Part of alcohol, yeah. We talked about that last week too. So very, very good. Well, we're in Revelation 9, and this is the fifth angel. And I thought we would just kind of read down through the text. If someone can read verse 1 for us, Revelation chapter 9, verse 1.
And the fourth angel sounded, and I saw a star far from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key of the bronze pit.
Yeah, the fifth angel. I think you said the fourth, but So these first four angels, they sounded a trumpet, but at the very end of chapter 8, it says, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. So these next three angels that sound, these are some great woes. And I think I gave you a definition of just what a woe meant. It meant... profound grief or distress and affliction or cause of distress. So, when you think of Revelation, these chapters and verses are what you think of as just, natural catastrophes, just epic proportion and plagues and, issues with the heavens and the stars and the sun and the moon. So we're kind of in the middle of that. And so some of this is, speculation. They say hindsight's 20/20, and there's a lot of people say a lot of different things about coming things, and so some of this is speculation that the future is unknown, it hasn't happened yet, and so I don't claim to be an expert on these things. And so with this verse 1 that Carol read for us, this star falling, and this entity is given the key to the bottomless pit. So I'm hoping next week we can really talk more about the bottomless pit. I'll touch on it today. But I know Pastor Brian and some others believe that this is maybe none other than Satan himself given the key, because it calls him a destroyer later. But anyway, I guess I'm just saying that we don't fully know the identity of this angel. But I put on my teaching point, we believe John is watching Satan fall from heaven. He was cast out of the throne in Isaiah 14, but he has not been contained in hell yet. And so this, in verse 2, if somebody wants to read that for us.
And he opened the bottomless pit. And there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit.
And so we're going to see that not only does this smoke comes out, but in verse 3, Teresa, read verse 3 also, I guess.
And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. To them was given power as the
Philippian
earth power.
Yeah, so with the smoke comes these locusts, and I think most people think that this smoke could be related to volcanoes. And how that has just the lava is under the earth, so this key to the bottomless pit could be. We're going to see these. We'll talk about the locusts at length today, but I got a video for you about volcanoes, not tornadoes, but volcanoes. So I want to watch this 6-minute video, and it's by a group called What If. And so they're saying, what if all the volcanoes went off at one time? And so it's very secular, and there's a couple commercials in there. So I'll just give you a heads up. But let's watch this 6-minute video together. And it makes you think about some things that could happen if some tornado or volcanoes go off.
What, those fires up in Canada and everything, we're seeing all the smoke from here, so that would be a huge...
Yes.
We wouldn't see the sun anymore.
Yeah.
There's a lot in the ocean.
Plants would die.
There's some underwater even.
There's a lot of underwater ocean.
Yeah.
More of the ocean volcanoes.
At the end, it says there's even some underneath Antarctica, so that's kind of weird, but... Anyway, this talks about the ring of fire, and it'll just all the volcanoes. Angie, you want to hit that light?
There is a deadly 40,000 kilometer long zone that passes through 15 countries. This area is dotted with volcanoes, giving it the name the Ring of Fire.
Huh.
And we've decided that right now, all 452 volcanoes are going to erupt at the same time.
That might be the commercial.
Talk about an explosive.
What would be the most dangerous part? Could it change the climate?
Nope.
And would there be any warning before it happens?
Nope.
This is What If, and here's what would happen if the Ring of Fire suddenly erupted. The Ring of Fire is a horseshoe-shaped area that stretches around the edge of the Pacific Ocean. Its volcanoes formed when continental plates slid on top of oceanic plates, forcing the oceanic plates into the mantle below. This tectonic movement is called subduction, and it doesn't just create volcanoes, it also causes massive earthquakes. Around 90% of the Earth's earthquakes happen along the Ring of Fire. So, if all...
I told you. You can't skip it either.
Yeah. Your technology drives missiles. Can you just say anything?
Yes.
Yes.
These volcanoes erupted at once? We wouldn't just be talking about lava flowing. We'd be witnessing massive earthquakes, toxic gas, and tsunamis. But why would the Ring of Fire erupt? You can thank tectonic plates for causing volcanic eruptions and devastating earthquakes. These plates create the Earth's crust and mantle, and they're constantly moving. As they move, they collide and rub against each other, eventually breaking and releasing seismic waves. And when one tectonic plate gets pushed below another, it creates molten rock called magma. Magma is lighter than rock, so it rises to the surface, trapping gas on its way. When magma is thick, these gas bubbles can't escape easily, so pressure builds. When the pressure builds enough, it causes an explosive volcanic eruption. And the volcanoes in the Ring of Fire are deadly. In 1814, Mount Mayan erupted and killed more than 1,200 people in the Philippines. And when Mount Kodovar erupted in 2018, the entire population of Papua New Guinea evacuated. For all 452 volcanoes to erupt at once, we need a pretty large tectonic event, like the forming of a new supercontinent. Ever since Pangaea broke up, the Atlantic has been widening and forcing the Pacific Ocean to narrow. Eventually, some of these continental pieces could collide, creating a seismic...
No, just in the middle of a sentence.
Catastrophe. What would happen? Well, if you lived anywhere in the Ring of Fire, your local volcano would explode and spew lava. Deadly earthquakes would happen next, which would trigger tsunamis all along the Pacific Ocean coastline. But these spectacular events aren't even the most lethal part. The two biggest hazards from any volcanic cataclysm are ash and volcanic gases, and they would affect the whole world. The 400 152 simultaneous eruptions would launch a lot of ash into the air. The ash would cover the world, completely blocking sunlight. In 1991, when Mount Pinatubo erupted, it cooled parts of the world by up to 0.4 degrees for 2 years. And the thick layer of ash wouldn't just cause temperatures to drop, it would also cause massive crop failures, leading to a global food shortage. And as if things couldn't get any worse, the toxic volcanic gases would create acid rain. The rain would make the oceans even more acidic, killing off coral reefs. Marine life would suffer an extinction event. The worst part is that we can't predict volcanic eruptions. There would be no warnings. Cities would be destroyed and many people would die. Luckily, it's extremely unlikely that this would happen, but there will always be activity in the Ring of Fire. And there's another challenge. While the rate of eruptions isn't increasing, the damage they cause is. The more we settle and build in the shadow of active volcanoes, the more life and property will be lost when they explode. And it's not just the active volcanoes we have to worry about. Dormant volcanoes sometimes wake up too. It wasn't until 2013 that scientists discovered slumbering volcanoes under Antarctica. But that's a story for another What If.
All right. Well, you might turn that light on again, Angie.
There's no denying that Taylor Swift
knows how to rock her stuff. What does Taylor Swift really look like under all that makeup?
I know that, you know, maybe not a lot of spiritual value, but, you know, we talked about in chapter maybe 5 and 6, where we thought that, you know, Christ was the only one worthy to open the book with 7 seals. We said that that's probably like the land grant to planet Earth. And so some of the events that happen with the Earth are, the Earth is kind of preparing for the Lord's return. And so some of these events are coming, you know, more rapidly. It says that the Earth is groaning in travail like a woman with child, where, you know, a woman getting ready to deliver a child, her contractions are, you know, more intense and closer together, right? And so I picture Earth like that, that, you know, we hear about hurricanes, or this is hurricane season, and, you know, you talked about fire. So there's things happening in the world, and they seem to be closer together and maybe more intense. And I think TJ brought up the earthquake in Russia just less than a month ago, and that you know, had a lot of effect on a lot of things. What I was going to say is that video, I just kind of happened on. I wasn't even searching for that time. So that's why I kind of felt led to, I thought, well, maybe the Lord wants this shown. And so it might explain some of the death in the ocean, some of the loss of ships. And we you know, it talks about the hail with the blood. And one thing that I was listening to or reading that said that that might be part of the reason for some of the sinking of the ships, is if the waters turned to blood like it was with Moses, the viscosity of blood is different than water, and ships would sink just because they can't float in blood. Or, you know, just some of this is kind of explainable, and it adds to our understanding. And just this smoke would block out some of the sunlight. It would kill some of the ocean life. And so these are pretty big things we're talking about. And so we're just, I'm sure, scratching the surface of some of the ramifications. But Anyway, so we think when he opens this bottomless pit, it could be a release of a volcano and this smoke. But in verse 3 that Teresa read, these locusts came out upon the earth, and they're not just regular locusts. It says that there was given unto them power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And verse 4 says, and it was commanded them, so they took commandments, that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. So the 144,000, the Jewish males that were virgins, they're protected. They've got God's seal. And so they, the locust doesn't harm them. But, you know, in the Bible, locusts are part of a plague. And they do destroy a lot of the green grass and the vegetation, but here they don't. And so it gives a description of them. And in verse 5, it says, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, the people, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was at the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Has anybody ever been stung by a scorpion? You have?
I lived in Texas for a couple of years.
How did that feel? Just kind of stings or...
Yeah, I at the time thought it was just the cutest little thing while it continuously stung my hand. It hurt. The swelling hurt worse though.
Hmm. Really? Our son lived in Arizona, Phoenix, for 6 years, I think. And one night, and Mark Lockwood lived there too, and I went out with him. We went scorpion hunting.
Oh,
it is. And I think you use like a black light because they kind of glow. And we were able to kill several. I mean, I didn't get close to them, but we saw them in the... They kind of was around the foundation of the house. So it was kind of interesting. So I did not get stung. But anyway, I know what they look like. We killed a few that night.
I used to find them in my clothes a lot. You had to shake out...
Yeah, they would get in the shoes and... So what I did here in the remainder of your front page of your handout was sometimes in the Bible the number 5 is connected with death, and we'll talk about that just a little bit more. I want to at least show you why we would say that. And it says here, and by the way, this is in chapter 9, verse 5. So it's in verse 5 that they weren't going to kill them, but they were to torment. So death is mentioned there. They were not to kill, but it's in verse 5. And just read down through some of this on your handout, if you'll look at that with me. Under letter E, these locusts could only torment men like scorpions, not kill them. And this torment lasted 5 months. And 5 in the Bible is the number of death. The first man, Adam, he died in Genesis chapter 5, verse 5. And Jesus, when he died on the cross, he had 5 punctures in his body. One through each hand, one through each foot, and then the sword in the side would be the 5th. And I know that doesn't really mention the crown of thorns that punctured him, but we're talking about the hands, the feet, and the side there. I put the altar of death in the tabernacle was 5 cubits wide by 5 cubits long and 3 cubits high. When David went to fight Goliath, he took 5 stones with him. Paul was whipped 5 times by the Jews. And so Paul could be kind of a type of the 144,000 there. He didn't die. The porch at the Pool of Bethesda had 5 porches. And so we say sometimes grace is connected with the number 5 as well. So death and grace. And there was five lords of the Philistines. We all have five senses, and we're all going to die unless the Lord comes first. A form of the word Antichrist is in the Bible five times. The word religion appears in the Bible five times. Haman in the book of Esther built a gallows of 50 cubits high to hang Mordecai on. Men were killed in the Old Testament by being smote under the fifth rib. That happened three or four or five times. Lucifer said, "I will," five times in Isaiah. And he was cast out of heaven. And then God said, "I will," five times in Ezekiel 28 in response to Satan. And then 5 also has a similar connotation outside the Bible. It looks like I got the five senses in our bodies on there again. Sheep have a gestation period of 5 months. Mayday is the desperation lingo of the militia because it is the fifth month of the year. I'm not sure why they picked Mayday, but... And then Satanists have a five-pointed pentagram, and the worst level of storm is classified as an F5. So those are just some observations that I've made, and maybe they resonate with you, maybe they don't, but nevertheless, those are some things that I found. I don't know if there's any comments on that, but my teaching point here is the words death, hell, or death, grave, devil, and beast all have five letters in them, and grace, faith, and Jesus also have five letters because that's how we overcome death. And I put a little PS there. Locusts have a lifespan of 5 months, so that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. That's spelled with five letters.
Yeah,
what is?
Death is spelled with
five. Yeah, yes. Yep. Yep. So anyway, a little bit sensational maybe talking, but nevertheless, some things you can't deny either. So any other thoughts or questions? Yeah, Pam?
The lifespan of a scorpion, the typical scorpion is about 5 years.
5 years?
3 to 5. Human has 5 years. There are a couple of... special species that go up to about 10 years, but typically a scorpion lives about 5 years.
Interesting. Wow.
Human has 5 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm just scared. I'd like to do it.
I collect some of those kind of things, so I'm kind of a nerd that way. What do you think, TJ?
I'm just thinking, talks about all the birth pains and stuff, and if we're considered sheep, our gestation period is the 5 months of that birth pain, along with the 5 months that the locust would be here.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Throughout the birth pains, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. The sheep are connected with Christians in the Bible. They're God's people. And so, that's why I put that one in there. I thought, okay, there's a connection there. So, well, now we're going to try to get through verse 11 here today and continue talking about these. And somebody read for us verse 6, if they would.
I will. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them.
And so in my Bible, I circled the little phrase, those days, because we believe that little phrase in our King James Bible is connected with the end times, the tribulation period, those days. Men are seeking death and they cannot find it. So they're getting stung. And look with me at a couple places. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 15. I'll take you on just a little side path, and I think you'll like it. 1 Corinthians 15. So they're going to get stung with these locusts. They got a sting like a scorpion. And look at 1 Corinthians 15. And Kevin, if you've got it, would you read 55 and 56?
Yeah, no problem. death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law.
Yeah, so this thing about death, where is thy sting? So that's connected here with this scorpion, isn't it? That the men are desiring to die. They get stung, these locusts with the scorpion tail. And so even Paul talks about, at least for the Christian, we don't have that sting of death. Like, we're not separated from God. We are with the Lord forever. So death to the Christian doesn't have that sting. And so maybe Paul is kind of symbolizing the 144,000 there.
Well, that's separation as well.
But look with me at Luke also. There's a place here in Luke, and so the Lord kind of hints on some of these things too. Look at Luke 10, Matthew, Mark, Luke, in verse 10. And somebody read verse 19. You got it, Angie? 10:19, yeah.
Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt them.
Yeah, so Christ gives his disciples power to tread on serpents and scorpions. So scorpions is mentioned there. And Angie, look at chapter 11, verse 12. So Luke 11, 12.
He shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?
Yeah, so this is talking about the Lord answering prayer, and you know, the Father gives his children good gifts, and so if you were to ask your, he mentioned the word scorpion here in verse 12. So some of this is kind of sprinkled in the Gospels, some of it there with Paul in 1 Corinthians, but. If we go back to Revelation 9 now, and let's read the description of these locusts. And if somebody can read 7 through 10, this describes these locusts to us. Revelation 9, 7 through 10.
The shapes of the locusts were likened to horses prepared in battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months.
Yeah, so these locusts had bodies like horses. They had heads or faces like men. They had some kind of crown of gold. So that's what this some artist made this little image I got up on the screen. They had hair like women, teeth like lions, breastplates of iron. They had wings, tails, and scorpion sting. So thank you, Pat. And I remember when I first heard Revelation taught, you know, back then they thought, well, you know, this could be describing like an Apache helicopter. You know, John in the first century, you know, he might describe, you know, and they shoot out missiles, so it looks like they got a tail, and some people thought it could be like that. Some of you know Robert Breaker. He's a good preacher and a Bible believer, and he put up this. He said in Mexico they found this, and they called it a fairy. I don't know if I can make it bigger, but it supposedly found a fairy in Mexico that appears to look similar to this. It has a stinger on it, like a scorpion. So, you know, they can doctor stuff up, but I thought this was pretty interesting. It looks like there's some kind of a tail with a stinger, and It's got wings, and the head does look like a man. I don't see the, you know, breastplate of iron or things like that. But anyway, it's a pretty nasty little creature, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a little demon or something.
Yeah, it does look demonic, doesn't it? And that kind of is the point, isn't it? These things are demonic. They're supernaturally empowered. You know, the book of Proverbs says that, you know, locusts don't have a king over them. Let me... Yeah, I'm not sure why they call it a fairy, but... So now let's look at verse 11. And somebody else read verse 11 if they would.
And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon.
And so I gave you kind of a definition there. Thank you, TJ. This Abaddon is the Hebrew word for destruction or minister of death. And in the Greek, this Apollyon is the Greek for destroyer. And I may talk a little bit about this next week because, you know, when the children of Israel came up out of Egypt, remember that they had the Passover, that the angel would pass over the houses that had the blood of the lamb. But that angel that passed over was called a destroyer angel. And so some people connect that with this. And so this may be a description of the devil or the Antichrist. Because do you remember the name for Judas Iscariot? What was he called? What did Jesus call him?
Son of perdition.
Son of perdition. And perdition means like damnation. So, you know, this could mean destruction or perdition. So that there's a connection here with the Antichrist that I don't want us to miss. But so now this last section, who are these locusts? And I think we kind of know that they are demonic creatures that are coming up out of the bottomless pit. And I'm hoping maybe next time to talk a little more about the bottomless pit. But most replicas you see of planet Earth are kind of like this. Some say there's kind of like three levels. But... you know, in the Bible, hell and is always in the earth, and you know, Christ descended into the earth, and you know, it says that in Matthew 12:40 that about the son of Jonah, or the sign of the prophet Jonah, as he was, it says that Christ is going to be like Jonah. He's going to be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And and it says he's preaching to the spirits in prison. So Christ was died and was buried, and we know he rose again the third day. And that's why you know, Christianity is different than any other religion, because our founder is alive today, right? He's at the right hand of the Father, and this gives us hope. And the Bible says if we only have hope in this life, we're miserable. We're of all men most miserable. But we have hope in the life hereafter. And so I really think that, like, hell is in the center of the earth, like this inner core, and this outer core could very well be the bottomless pit, and maybe this mantle could be like Abraham's bosom, or the place that used to be paradise. But I want you to think about a bottomless pit. You know, we're all sitting here and gravity is holding us here. But gravity, the origin of gravity is the center of the earth. And it pulls all of us downward. But if you were in the center of the earth, you'd have the same characteristics of outer space. You'd be kind of weightless. See, there's sides to the pit, but there's really no bottom or top. It's, you have kind of a weightlessness. And you know, they train astronauts like in the space shuttle. They go up so high and they come downward at the right slope to where you can have a sense of weightlessness as the airplane's flying, because you're coming down at a certain speed that's calculated with the, you know, the weight of gravity, and so they, I think you can achieve weightlessness for like over a minute, maybe 2 minutes, before you have to kind of pull up. But anyway, all that's really interesting. Yeah.
There is newer discovery that the Earth does have 5 layers.
Okay.
There is, in the inner core, there is one. It's the innermost core within that.
Okay.
It's a metallic ball. It's distinct. It's different from the rest of the inner core.
It's iron and nickel.
Yeah.
I did read something about that.
Yeah.
It's like a hot
furnace. So it's like there's 5.
Yeah, so the number 5 again. And really all we know is that the center of the Earth is dark and it's hot. Just like hell is described as in the Bible, right? And they say that the hottest fire is colorless. You know, when we think of fire, we think of, you know, this orange, red, yellow fire, but the hottest fire is colorless, so that just seems very would be very much a torment. And you know, they say that you know, they take surveys of the worst way to die, and about half the people say that burning to death would be the worst way to die, and about half the people say drowning is the worst way to die. Well, guess what? In eternity, people are cast into the lake of fire. So you're drowning and burning. So it's just a horrible thing to die without the Lord. So we don't wish that for anyone. So what I did here at the end, I wanted to, what I believe, so let me give you the punchline, is I believe that these locusts are part of the fallen angels that sinned in the days of Noah. And so these angels, these fallen angels, these demonic locusts that come out of the bottomless pit, I believe are the some of the fallen angels. Not all of them, because there's demonic activity today, but some angels were bound and chained in this bottomless pit. And in the Old Testament, I wanted to talk about the sons of God. So only a handful of beings are called the sons of God in the Bible. Adam was actually called the Son of God in Luke 3:38. And I'll talk about that as we close today. Israel is called God's son in Exodus 4. And there's 5 times that the angels are referenced to being the sons of God. 3 times in Job, and I think a couple of times in Genesis. I didn't list them on there. And then, of course, Jesus Christ himself is the Son of God. And then you're blank there. Can anybody quote John 1:12 for us? Some of us have memorized that one. Anybody?
That as many as received him gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe.
The believe on his name. That, good job, Pat. So that's hard to come up with on the fly, but as many as believed in him, the same gave he power to become the sons of God. So if you're in here today and you're a Christian, you've been born again. You're God's son. You're God's daughter. And does anyone want to look up the Job 38? Because I want us to see something from Job 38 there. And verse 7. This is one of the places it talks about the sons of God in the Old Testament. And if we were to read down through Job 38, these first 6 verses, it talks about, you know, the foundation of the earth. And it talks about creation. And then when you get to Job 38:7, read that one, if you will.
when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy.
It says all the sons of God. So what I was trying to highlight there is that, and it connects with, it connects the morning stars with the sons of God. And they were all present at creation. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And but after that, and before Adam and Eve were in the garden, Satan fell, and he took a third of the angels with him. And so a third of these sons of God fell. And on your handout, I've got the Genesis 6 verses. Would someone want to read those for us? Letter D on the back of your page.
And it came to pass, when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, that the daughters were born unto them, and the sons of God saw the daughters of the men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, all which they chose. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and bare children to them, some became mighty men, which were of old, and men of renown.
Now, I want you to think for a minute. You know, most of us have heard about Greek mythology, and we don't add a lot of clout to that, but, you know, kind of where did that come from? If you think about it, and I don't know a lot about it myself, but, you know, there, in Greek mythology, there's this Mount Olympus, and there was a Mount Olympus. I think you could see it from Thessalonica. But it's kind of where the Greek gods had relations with women, and their offspring was called like demigods, like part man, part god. And like Zeus was like the highest god, and his son is called, oh, guess what their son is called? Apollo. Like Apollyon, like what we're talking about here. And that's kind of what happens in Genesis 6, is these sons of God, it says they came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. And it says there were giants in the earth those days. And that word giants is where we get this word. I don't know if you've ever heard of this word. And that word, it means fallen ones. And so we may talk more about that at another time, but I had you put this word Nephilim in your blank there. So these offsprings of these sons of God and women were giants. We think that, you know, of course, Goliath is one of the named giants in the Bible. And there are a couple others. They think one of them that Moses defeated, that Og and Bashan, you know, one of them had just the bed that was over 9 cubits or something like that, like 13 feet long bed. So, you know, those are... So anyway, at least I'm trying to help us see where these origin is, but now...
really talk about it 2 or 3 times in the Bible, don't they?
Yeah, well, and I listed some of them out. Let's look at letter F here. This is going to add a little more definition for us. So this interpretation explains God's judgment of the angels that sinned in the days of Noah, as recorded in 2 Peter, and I think I've got that on our handout. So God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So think about this. If what we're saying is true, and these fallen angels were chained into a bottomless pit, they've been there for like 4,400 years. And so what we're talking about here in Revelation is that the devil, or this angel of the bottomless pit, this king, he's given a key and he can let him out. And maybe it's coming out with the smoke of these volcanoes, and they're tormenting men. And we don't know how many there were. The book of Enoch says like there was just like 200, but if there, it seems like there could be millions of them here from this passage. We don't have the book of Enoch. It's not Bible. But and then I got two more verses from you. One's from Jude here. It says in Jude 1:6, it confirms the punishment that was meted out or measured out to those angels. It talks about the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So they're released here in the tribulation, and God's going to judge them. And then I put your next bullet point under letter F. While explaining Christ's death and subsequent 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, 1 Peter 3:19 and 20 undeniably confirms that this certain group of fallen angels or spirits were still locked up in the chains of darkness or prison, and that Jesus preached to them while his body was in the grave. It says he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient in the days of Noah. So that's kind of the story of these fallen angels. Explaining what I believe them to be, that are in this bottomless pit. And then the Luke 3:38 says that Adam was the son of God, and Genesis 1:28 gives us his mission. And they were to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And this is kind of interesting. So if Adam was the son of God, what do you think his children would be? They would also be sons of God. Yeah, maybe grandchildren of God. But this word replenish means to fill again. So what I'm saying is that these, God wanted Adam to have sons of God that would replenish the ones that fell, is what I'm saying. But Adam fell, and so now Christ came, and when we get saved, we become sons of God. So think about that. Could it be that we're replacing those fallen angels that fell? And that is what we're saying. And
that might be the Jews.
I know it's a wild thought.
It's like the fullness of the Gentiles.
Yeah, when
the virgin Jews, I think.
Well, they're the 144,000, and there's the remnant and the 144,000. So those are the Jews, but this is part of the church that I'm talking about. And so at least some of the ones that fell are in the bottomless pit, and they're going to be released. And my last teaching point there is just that the first Adam was supposed to replenish the fallen sons of God, but he failed. And the last Adam, Jesus, will be successful in replenishing the sons of God that fail. And I gave you a verse from 1 Corinthians 15. And so it was written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And so, anyway, that's a lot. It's a lot in a short time. And we talked about hell, the bottomless pit, and demonic locusts and crazy things. But anyway, I hope you're encouraged and at least consider how this affects you personally, because we can all be discouraged. I had two different people who were supposed to be here this morning and couldn't come, but just seeing you encourages me. I hope you're encouraged that we're walking with the Lord and walking with each other, and hopefully you're encouraged by this, even though we may not understand all of it, because some of it's kind of scary. In the book of Jude, it says that of some having compassion, making a difference, it says others pulling out of the fire and hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Some people get saved by the love of God. It says in Romans 2, I think, it says that the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. And when you think about how good God is, it makes you want the Lord, right? It should. But some people, it takes being, scared. Like, some people get saved in jail. It took going to jail to give this a wake-up call. Like, oh my gosh, my life's a mess. I better get right with the Lord. I'm going to lose my kids. I'm going to lose my family. I'm going to lose whatever. And so some people, it takes like, hey, idiot, wake up. Get saved. The Lord loves you. And that's how Brian Hedges said he got saved. He was reading the book of Revelation and things he thought, things in the news back in the 80s were, describing end times things. And so regardless, if you're just drawn to God by His love, He is love. God is love, but He also says God is light, and light has to do with judgment, and He's a just God. He has to punish sin, and so all of this is His judgment on planet Earth, and that's what we're talking about. This series is called Revealing Jesus, and so hopefully we're seeing He's not going to be the suffering servant that He was at His first coming. He's coming back to rule and reign as a king and has a rod of iron. And so this just seems a little more harsh, but it's the same God, right? So let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we do thank You for this church. We thank You for Your word. It's just so full, and Lord, we're just maybe not even scratching the surface, and yet Lord, we're getting glimpse into the future, and we speculate, who is this angel with the key to the bottomless pit, and who are these creatures that come out of the bottomless pit? And Lord, it stirs our heart. It makes us want to be with You and to be protected and sheltered from the storm, and you are that refuge. And so Lord, may we cling to You in these last days before Your coming, and may we take others with us, Father. I remember the preacher said the most selfish person in the world is the person who's willing to go to heaven alone. So help us not to go to heaven alone. Help us to take others with us, and pray for this class this week. I know there's just illnesses and hardships and maybe unspoken things, and so Lord, just have Your good hand upon us. Lord, we just go forward by faith, and pray You'll be with Brian in this main service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is the sponsorship level to be in the ads and promote, is it $250?
To be on the shirt, but all of our sponsors are on the web page.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a couple.